Will you pray with me? Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Alleluia. Amen. Who remembers this? What's that? Oh, all right. Well, I'm sorry. When you unmute it? Sorry, no worries. Somebody recognize what that looks like? Remembers this. Probably 10 years and it still gives me goosebumps, and it's a freaking ad. I mean, come on. But the cool part about this, wouldn't it be awesome if that's how God got our attention? You know, there's like this cacophony and all this, like, whoa! And then, so we would know, okay, now's the time to pay attention because this is going to be a message from God. Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah, but it doesn't work that way, does it? Especially if like everyone could hear it at the same time and it would be all different times, that would be a little too much. But it'd be so awesome if that was how we knew that God was gonna speak to us right then and right there. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. And as we see in today's story, it's a little more subtle and confusing. But I wanna catch us up a little first from last week. Last week we were with Moses in the wilderness, and they were getting their manna and quail, so we've fast-forwarded quite a bit since then. So they've been in the wilderness 40 years, Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, the walls came tumbling down, they've come into the land of Canaan, they've got the land of milk and honey, they've made some progress there, they've set up some systems of organization and how to live together. Eli is now the priest, and Samuel, as Pat pointed out, works with Eli because his mother, Hannah, had dedicated his life as part of her deal to have a child. So we've kind of fast-forwarded all through that. Part of the setting up the organization, they set up a system of judges. So the book of Judges, if you've heard of the book of Judges, it talks about how the judges helped run Israel for the first few years. But unfortunately, by the end of the book of Judges, it's kind of gotten a bit chaotic, and they actually have the words, people were doing what they felt was right in their own eyes, which can be problematic. I mean, it sounds a little anarchist. So it was getting to be that way, and the text suggests that God had sort of stepped away from the people of Israel for a while. And Eli, being the priest, you'd think he'd be like trying to get folks to get back on board, and actually his sons, who are also priests, were also messing up and doing things they thought was the right thing to do, not what was God's way. So God had sort of given up on Eli and Eli's family. So when God calls Samuel, Sam is like, I don't know what's going on, it's Eli, it's gotta be Eli. Who else is in the building? Nobody. But Eli's clueless too, because God has stepped away from Eli. But Eli's also kind of an airhead. Because when he saw Hannah, when Hannah was at the temple, so distraught because she couldn't have a child, she's weeping and praying silently, moving her lips, and Eli thought that she was drunk. I mean, he says, what, are you drunk? Why are you here? And so she explains it to him, and then he finally gets it. He's also an airhead because he's been ignoring what his sons have been doing for the past years and basically running the priesthood into the ground. And now it takes him 3 times to understand what's going on with Samuel. You'd think maybe the second time he might have caught on, but it takes him 3. But I kind of feel for Eli because I can be the same way. It's sort of hard to get my attention sometimes because I have so much going on in my head or there's things I'm focusing on. We're all over-focused that way, right? We have family, we have jobs, we have issues, the things that are going on in our world right now with all the hurricanes and the fires and the earthquakes and the shootings and the bombs and the threats. So, yeah, it might be a little hard to get our attention to. But the problem with getting a message from God is we have no idea who it's going to come from, where it's going to happen, when, what. We don't know. Which is, I guess, part of the fun. Keeps us on our toes. But we also need somebody to help us. Samuel needed Eli to tell him what was going on. Even though God may have stepped away from Eli, Eli still knew the signs. He still knew what was probably going to happen. So we may, like Eli and like Samuel, miss the first couple times that God tells us God wants to talk to us. So we need that Eli. And we have Jesus. Jesus helps us with this a lot. Jesus has laid down a lot of stuff on how we can speak with God and how God can speak with us. But we still just need somebody right there, right next to us. Somebody who speaks our language, who can interact. We need that. But what we don't need is people who claim to speak for God, because that gets weird and that gets ugly. Because what happens is their pronouncements tend to sound perfectly the same as what they don't like. So if they say God doesn't like something, it's probably because they don't like it. I mean, Pat Robertson does this all the time, right? Oh, the hurricanes are because of the gays. The wildfires are because of the abortion, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, really? Really? So their pronouncements, I don't take a lot of stock in them. If somebody tells me God told them something, and it's too easy, chances are they're making some stuff up. Why is that? Because God's message is hard. God's message is always hard. It's not easy. It's not happy puppy thoughts. The first message that Samuel got, it wasn't even for Samuel. It was for Eli. It's like this weird, let's have God play telephone through Samuel to talk to Eli. But that's because God wasn't going to talk to Eli anymore because God was done with Eli. And it was a hard message, too. It wasn't just like, hey, Samuel, tell Eli this, so I can see if you're actually paying attention and you can share these messages. No, it was, yeah, tell Eli him and his whole family are going to be destroyed. Because that's easy, right? It's not, God's message is never something simple you can put on a Facebook meme. It just isn't. It's harder than that. I mean, the Facebook memes might be nice shorthands, but the message is always going to be hard. Yesterday at the Michigan UCC conference meeting, we got a word from Reverend Dr. Frank Thomas, who was talking about the high cost of discipleship. It's hard. The message of God is hard. Leave all the things of the world and follow Jesus. The words are simple, but the message is hard because we always have an excuse not to go all in, as Reverend Dr. Thomas made it clear yesterday. Oh, we want to spend time with our family that one more time. Oh, we just got to finish this last job. Oh, we got to do this one thing. What does the Lord require of us? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. It's what, 6 words? But it's not easy. The message of God is really hard. So it's not surprising that when Samuel got this message that it was hard. Because, like I said, maybe it was a test. going to be all in? Because if I give you an easy message, what does that tell me? Nothing. If I give you a hard message and you deliver it, well then, suggest that maybe we're on the same page. But how do we prep to be open to the message of God? How do we prep? Is it like a colonoscopy where we just clean everything out and move on? I hope not, because that's just so unpleasant. Do we burn down everything and start over, metaphorically speaking? How do we stay in that speak God, your servant is listening space? Because it's one thing to say, here I am. You know, that just says, hey, here I am. But it's another thing to say, speak to me, I'm listening. You feel the difference? The greatest gift you can give anyone is to be present and to listen. So when we listen for God, we have to really listen. We can't just be there. We have to be there and be present and listening. So the first way to do that is to open our hearts. It's hard. It really is. We have to look for the good in ourselves and in others. We have to focus on joy instead of all the crap. It's hard to focus on joy. There's so much stuff going on right now. We have to help those who are suffering. We have to serve others. And we just have to stop and say, I'm listening. Isn't that what Frasier used to say on that show when he was... In his radio show, he just say, yes, caller, I'm listening. I misremembered. It's been a while. But in any case, if somebody says I'm listening, that's huge. So we need to open our hearts and tell God, yes, God, I'm listening. But then we also have to be aware. This is one thing to be listening, but we also have to be aware. Be aware when the light changes just a little bit. Be aware when the wind feels a little special. Or when we hear someone's voice a little differently. We have to be aware. We have to be open. So that when God does show up, we don't just walk right by. So it takes a little bit of stopping smelling the flowers mindset to get into this. So it's one thing to be in a here we are place. Yep, here we are, we're good. It's another thing to say, speak, Lord, for I'm listening. So let us be in that place. And then, let us change the world when we hear the message of God.